thank everybody that came. Baruch Hashem, even though we are practicing social distancing, I definitely know the excitement of the shiur. I feel it from many people, from the comments before, after, and even comments during the shiur. In particular, I'd like to thank some people discussing the marmokomos that we sent out. So what I've been doing over the quarantine with constraints is that I've also had made marmokomos up, but not as extensive as before. I only would do one sheet. I would still put on the marmokomos, though, a list of important marmokomos here. So if you ever find the marmokomos sheet, it wasn't just this week, but a few people caught me this week. If you ever find marmokomos, if not everything is there, it's because not everything fit in the sheet, and we're only doing one side, and copying capabilities are somewhat limited, especially when I'm doing a lot of work from the home office. Now, today's topic is entitled Yom Tov versus Shabbos candle lighting, a very interesting halachic source. And I figured with Yom Tov of Shavuos coming up, I would really like to start talking some halachos about Shavuos. I came across a very interesting piece in a sefer. We know there's a concept in general of Shloshim Yom Kol Melachag, that 30 days before Yom Tov, a person is supposed to be involved in the learning of the halachos of the Yom Tov. There's a belief in the machlokas is that only by Chag HaPesach, which has probably the most halachos of any Yom Tov, takes up half of what you call Chelek Hay of the Mishnah Berurah. As opposed to other Yom Tovim, there's a lot of halachos, but it's not the same scope and challenge as Pesach. And Poskim discuss that. So we get it, on Pesach, you have to learn a tremendous amount of halachos regarding the Yom Tov. Sukkos also does require a lot of studying about the Yom Tov, right? To even make a case for Yom Nerayim, there is what to learn when it comes to those Yom Tovim. The Yom Tov of Shavuos, on the other hand, has not so many new halachos. I mean, technically, I guess we could talk about the halachos of Bas B'challah, but that's really relevant all year round. Geirus, Rus became a ger, but it's not necessarily halach l'maisa, unless someone becomes a ger inspired by the story of Rus. But the Yom Tov of Shavuos doesn't really have new halachos to learn which are pertinent to that holiday. So I saw the sefer brought down that the Nyana Diyoma of Chag HaShavuos are Hilchos Yom Tov. When there's not a focus on the individual mitzvahs of the Yom Tov, the Yom Tov HaShavuos, which is coming up, Bez Hashem, quite soon, right? We celebrate the Yom Tov by celebrating the Yom Tov. There's nothing in particular, perhaps we'll talk about the different minhagim, you know, minhag to stay up all night is just that, it's a minhag. Perhaps we'll talk about that another time as Yom Tov comes close. There's no real mitzvah hachag. You know, I hear from the back row, what about cheesecake? Alan told me has a soft spot for cheesecake, right? Yeah, cheesecake is definitely another nice minhag, but it's not a chiyuv, and if your doctor tells you not too many cheesecakes, that's pashut. You don't have to have cheesecake. So there aren't really specific halachas for the Yom Tov of Shavuos. That's why it's said that people should study in general the halachas of Yom Tov, of keeping Yom Tov. Shavuos is an important thing. I even remember my time back in yeshiva. When it comes to Sukkot and Pesach, most people aren't around. Most young couples, young alight, aren't there. Yom Tov Shavuos, everyone tries to be in yeshiva. Where else would you rather be? I remember as one of the older guys in Kol, I used to get all these questions people would ask about making Yom Tov. Like, that's when, you know, they're making no Yom Tov, it comes up. But it's in general, the halachas of the yontif coming up to Shavuot. This is a nice time to learn about them. In particular, this year, I will get to it. I'm not going to spill the beans, spoil the climax before we get there. But I discovered this sugya, this interesting halachic source, which is the subtitle of today's share, about a year ago. As soon as I saw this, I'm like, okay, this is a perfect Sunday morning share. And really, I could have given it any week, but the relevance of the share itself is for Yontif. So I waited for a time which is more appropriate for Yontif, but the halachic source is mind-boggling over here, quite fascinating. And perhaps that itself will engender discussion. So keep listening. So let's go, I guess, before we start the halachas of candle lighting on Yontif. Probably the best place to begin is the halachas of candle lighting on Shabbos. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, this is Orech Chaim, Siman Reish, Samach Gimel, Sif Hei. And this is on the sheets. The Mechaber writes, Kishyadlik, when a person lights, it's also important, the halachas of halachas neiros in general, not necessarily so known, especially amongst the menfolk. The halacha is, it's a chiv on everybody, and unfortunately if a person doesn't have a wife, his wife's not able to light, a man would light Shabbos candles himself, and thus, you know, you have to know these halachas. So, also is applicable here in yeshiva, the yeshiva lights for its talmidim, and we usually point to one bacher, the gabbai, who would go and light on behalf of the talmidim, so it always comes with all the halachas neira shaylas. So, Mechaber writes, kishayavlik, when a person lights, Yivarech Baruch Hashem Elkeinu Melech Olam Sheir Kedushon Mitzvos Vitzivanu Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbos. He makes this bracha Lahadlik to light Ner Shel Shabbos, a candle for Shabbos. Echad Ish VeEchad Isha. This mitzvah applies to both men and women. Obviously, the common minhag is for the woman of the house to do it. Gam B'Yomtov. And similarly, when it comes to Yontif, one also makes a bracha, but there we change the nusach to fit Yontif. Okay, the discussion about Yom Kippur. What's the essence of Yom Kippur lights? Perhaps that's different than Shabbos and Yontif lights. Ayin Shem. Haggah. This is an important Ramah. Ramah adds, Yesh Misha Omer Shem Avarchim Kodim Hadlaka. There are those that say that the woman should make the bracha before she lights. What's the reasoning behind this? It's very simple. All mitzvahs, we normally make the bracha over Lasiyasam, before we do it. You make the bracha, and then you go and do the mitzvah. Right? Obviously, there should be no hefsek in between. So you do the bracha, and then right away go and do the mitzvah. So similarly over here, first sheet to hear in the Ramah, is that one should first make the bracha, and then light. The Yesh Misha Omer, Shemavarech Acher Hadlaka. There's a second opinion, quotes the Mordechai, that no, first the woman lights, and only after she lights, then she makes a bracha. What's the reasoning behind this? This is a shita of the Bahag. And the reasoning is because your Kabbalah Shabbos already comes with the bracha. Once you say, Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbos, that language, that bracha, already is halachically deemed a Kabbalah Shabbos. And therefore, if she's Mekabel Shabbos, how could she light a candle? So therefore, the second opinion says you can't first make the bracha, because once it's Shabbos, you're in trouble. Now you can't light. So the better thing to do would first be light, and then after you light, to make the bracha. And the Ramah continues, Ukadesh, yeah, over Asiyaso, and there in order, even though you made the bracha, you're making the bracha after you did the mitzvah, but to get some level, some means of over Asiyaso, do not get benefit from the lights until after the bracha. Thus came about the following minhag: umasimim hayad lefnei haner achar hadlaka umevarchim. You put your hand in front of the fire after you light it, then you make the bracha. Yachar masnikin hayad. Afterwards, you move your hands. Zem mikri over lasiyasa. So this is the famous minhag that women know of, that women go and cover their eyes right after they light. If you didn't know the halachic source of this, one might think, okay, you know, maybe it's some element of kavana, right? We know when it comes to Kriya Shema, the halacha is one covers their eyes. The reasoning behind it, it's not that we play certain games in the dark. It's not a cute thing that we do for kids to just, you know, switch up davening, right? You know, all these. Anytime you cover your eyes, it becomes a whole big thing for kids, right? How many times? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but you know, how many people over here, you know, peeked when they were a kid at the Kohanim during Duchenne? It's the type of thing. Like, okay, you can't see under your father's talus. Like, we have these fun things in Yiddishkeit, whether it's closing your eyes not to see the bracha from the Kohen, closing your eyes for Kriya Shema, or hear women, people making a bracha on Halakas Ner HaShabbos, closing your eyes after you light. But what's interesting is each of those are, you do it for separate reasons. There's no hide and go seek in Yiddishkeit. Each one has a separate reason. The Kohen, you're not supposed to look at them as they give you a bracha. Kriya Shema we do for Kavana. But women covering their eyes is not for Kavana. That's probably the popular answer if one wouldn't be familiar with this halacha. Yeah, but some of the clothes are because kavana does help for kavana. And it's also common for women after they light halakas neros to say a tefillah on behalf of themselves, on behalf of their family. And, you know, they do that, you know, with their eyes covered. But the real reason behind why a woman covers their eyes is this halacha, is because we always do mitzvos where we try to do the bracha before the mitzvah. So over here, according to the second opinion, if a woman would make the bracha on Shabbos candles first, according to the second opinion, you're ready to kabbal Shabbos. So you can't just do the classic over l'siyos and make the bracha and then perform the mitzvah. So here it gets complicated. So you do the lighting, but the lighting itself, the real goal of the mitzvah is the hanah from the lights. So if you hold yourself back from getting benefit from the lights, you're covering your eyes, so then, okay, one could say, at some level, that I am making the bracha over here. Even if I'm first lighting, covering my eyes, and making a bracha, but my bracha will still be before I get benefit from that light. So therefore, it's still in the level that's over Lasiyasa, still good. And therefore, in the second way, we balance gaining over the Maila of over Lasiyasa, but at the same time, doing it in a way where there's no violation of Shabbos. And the Ma'aril light, the Chin HaMinag. The Minag is, as I'm sure most people are familiar, the minhag is that one does first light, you know, and only then afterwards make the bracha with this whole game of covering their face. For the record, there is a third potential way to do it. First way is the classic way, make the bracha first and then light. But we see that's not the miluk. We are nervous about this idea that the Kabbalah, that when one makes a bracha, that itself is a Kabbalah Shabbat. So we see the second way, that one lights, covers their eyes, and makes the bracha. There's a third way, which the Ramah brings a little bit later here in the Siman, that there's an option, really, of making the bracha beforehand. We said, if you make the bracha beforehand, aren't you mekabel Shabbos? So there's a concept, no, I'm going to light Neiros Shabbos, I'm going to make the bracha, but I'm not going to have das to be mekabel Shabbos until after the lights are lit. A lomdish move. Right? We know a person could control when the mekabel Shabbos. Right? You can make Shabbos early. So there's also, on top of that, there's an idea of Tosefta Shabbos, person accepting extra Shabbos. So what does that mean? It's an oral declaration, or even a mindset, right? That I'm a Kabbal Shabbos. So a woman could technically have a mindset. It's a machlokas, if such a tonight works, but the Bahag, and it's brought down that it does. That technically speaking, you could actually make the bracha beforehand. And then light like we do by other mitzvahs. In this case, you never would have to put your hands in your eyes. Just make the bracha beforehand. As long as one has das, as one has the mindset, I'm not mekabel Shabbos until afterwards. Now, the reason why the minhag is to first light and then make the bracha is we're always nervous. The rabbis were nervous, definitely with things that involve a mindset. You have to have the mindset, you have to have the das. That not mekabel Shabbos, that's tricky. People don't necessarily have that in mind. And thus, you know, the minhag evolved. The best way for women to do it is just light first, make the bracha afterwards. You know, you have a similar idea of like a person having das. You know, if somebody asks you, right, we're still in Sfira, but you have a similar halacha over there. Someone asks you, huh, what was last night? You know, what night of Sfira is it? So the most common answer we all know is you tell them, oh, last night, you know, was 38. Right? That's what people do. But Lamaisa, you see here that there's another way to do it. The Mishnah Berurah brings it down over there. That the alternative way to do it would be for one to tell them straight out, tonight is the 39th day of the Omer. You just counted. No, I didn't. Because I have in mind, I'm only telling it for this guy because he needs to know. Right? Imagine you have a Baal Tshuva come over to you. What night of Sfira is it? Last night was 38. Right? The poor Baal Tshuva is going to say, last night was 38. Like, he doesn't know what the halacha is. Right? The best thing to do would be tell him exactly, Rabbi, tell me what I need to say. So you could tell him exactly what he needs to say, as long as you have the mindset that I have das, that I'm not being yotzei with doing this. The reason why the famous last words, last night was this, came about is because these mindsets are not the easiest thing for people to have in mind, especially when they have a lot of things in their mind. So many times you'll see in halacha, even where you could have das not to be yotzei, that's not usually the common practice. Okay? So that's a little bit of a background into hadlakos neiros Shabbos. Now, what about Bayantif? This is a good pop quiz. What does a woman do Bayantif? Now, I did not do any type of survey. I didn't. But I would tend to think that the halachas of Yantif are probably not as well known as the halachas of Shabbos. Especially because it only comes a few times a year. and usually have a certain amount of spacing between Yom Tovim. Right? Okay, between Pesach and Shavuos, you got your 49 days. It's not even, because from the end of Yontif. Okay, a little bit more than a month in between Pesach and Shavuos, but you go from Shavuos to Rosh Hashanah, you go from Sukkot to Pesach. They're nice gaps, so I'm sure people do forget. So what do you do by Yontif? Is that the same procedure? Do we first light, then make a bracha? Again, no surveys, I don't know. But I would bet that there probably are a lot of women that do the same thing for Yontif that they do by Shabbos. Lamaisa, there is a shita like that. Multiple people. The source of doing that, keeping Shabbos and Yontif the same halachas. The source of that is the Magen Avram. Magen Avram is right over here. It's in Reis Samach Gimel. And he says, look, the same halacha that we have by Shabbos, we incorporate the same halacha when it comes to Yontif. So just like by Shabbos, the practical minute, what people do is they first light, and then only after the lighting, covering their eyes, they make the bracha. That's what one would do by Yontif. In fact, I'll jump to this. The lashon of the mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch is mashma like that. Because look, when we read the mechaber, what did the mechaber write? He taught us the bracha of Lahag Ner Shel Shabbos. Immediately after that, he brings Gambi Yontif, Tzarech Levarach Lahag Ner Shel Yontif. This might be Chiel Gimel Mishabura, Arachayim Simon Reish Samach Gimel. This might be found under the category of Hilchos Shabbos, but the Mechaber grouped together, once we're talking about lighting, he grouped together the halachas of Yontif. So he talked about the halacha, the lashon that a person uses in making the bracha by Yontif. And then on that piece, the Rama added, Yesh Misha Omer, and he talks about the process, the procedure of how to do it. Does he make any differentiations between Shabbos and Yontif? Well, on Shabbos, we do it like this. And in Yontif, no. The Mechaber talked about Shabbos and Yontif looping them together. And the Rama talked about the procedure and didn't differentiate. From the language of the Shulchan Aruch, it seems to be mashma that one does the same thing. That diuk, I saw some Achronim make. And what would be the reasoning? Why would Yontif follow the same halachas of Shabbos? So we'll see in a moment. But what would be the other tzad? But the basic idea is we like keeping things consistent. This is what we call lo plug. Even if you'll argue to me that there perhaps is a reason to make for a difference, halacha fits the best. People follow it the best when it's simplified. The most simplified way of doing things is, okay, look, if this is the halacha of Shabbos, when you light Shabbos candles, you light first and then make a bracha. Do the same thing for Yontif. You make a low plug. Low plug means no differentiation. All the same halacha. It's interesting. You know, we're really living in an era where hopefully people appreciate the concept of a low plug. Right? What's been going on with our corona pandemic, in many different places, you know, we're pushing different times to have minyanim. We should have block minyanim, porch minyanim, all these different things. And Rabbanim, local Rabbanim, in all different communities were utilizing this concept of low plug. And it's the type of thing that sometimes rubs certain types of people the wrong way. Hey, why do I have to have the same halacha? You know, come on. We're not exactly the same as that case. You know, when you start having to make differences by going like this, right? You see that? Do it again. When you have to start making what we call yeshivisha differences, lamdisha differences, a lot of times people don't see that. People don't clearly see the differentiation between my porch and your porch, between my block having a minion and your block not having a minion. People don't see that. And it's so hard to expect full compliance where, okay, well, you'll have this halacha, you'll have that halacha. That's very, very hard to do. And therefore, the best way normally, this is a very important Torah concept, is Rabbanim make a lot of times what we call a low plug. We don't differentiate. Let's keep the halacha as simple as possible in order that people should keep it the proper way. And a lot of times, others who challenge such things are just viewing it from their very limited, I believe, myopic vision of what's best for them, without thinking the full scope. To see the full scope of how this affects other people, that's not so simple. So there's a lot of chachma that goes into a low plug. It's not just, okay, let's keep it the same way. It's a very important halachic power that we're about to have. So the Magen Avraham argues that when it comes to candle lighting, we keep Shabbos and Yom Kippur the same as a low plug. I already intimated that there's another shita. What is that other shita? So the other shita is that when it comes to Yontif, we do the exact opposite of what we do in Shabbos. When it comes to Yontif, we make the bracha first, and then we light. What would the rationale for such a thing be? So, the basic idea is, and I'll tell you in a moment where this, what the source of this halacha is. The basic idea is that, well, there is a big chilek between Shabbos and Yom Tov. We said the reasoning why we don't light, make a bracha first on Shabbos is because once I make a bracha and makabel Shabbos, so now Shabbos is also for me to light. So if it's also for me to light, I'm getting myself in trouble. So granted, there's a maila of ovelas yasa, and the best way to do it is always to make the bracha totally before you do any part of the mitzvah. Close your eyes and no. Before you do any part of the mitzvah, before you pick up your esrog, before you have them all together, you make your bracha on the tilas luv. Right? That's how we normally do things, over las yasa. But here, we said by Shabbos, according to opinion in the Shulchan Aruch, we can. Because you makabel Shabbos. Once you makabel Shabbos, you can't light. But that doesn't apply in Yontif. In Yontif, one of the things we're allowed to do is light. Havara is mutter on Yontif. Mutter on Yontif, so great. I could fulfill then over Las Yasin in the best possible way. I'm going to make my bracha like I always do before I do the mitzvah, and then I will light. I am a kabel Yontif when you make the bracha, so be it. I can light on Yontif. So in Yontif, the best way to do it would be first to make the bracha, and then to light. Exact opposite of Shabbos. And we'll see in a moment, this second idea became highly, highly endorsed. Where did it stem from? It's quite fascinating. There was a great halakhic authority lived in the 16th into the 17th century. Rabbi Yeshua Falk. He wrote three major svarim on halacha. One is the Sma, which appears in the regular Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat on the page. Additionally, wrote on the Torah a Sefer Drisha and a Sefer Prisha, where he explains various elements of halacha. Great, great Gaon, the Sma, the Drisha. It's very interesting. Is all the Mechabrim who wrote Perushim, all the major Mechabrim wrote Perushim on the Shulchan Aruch. If you open up a Shulchan Aruch, there's a Hakdama, and it talks about either they themselves are writing it, in many cases, I'm about to refer to you as the sons, whoever's publishing the Sefer. And a lot of people, when it comes to a Sefer, you have a book, you skip the introduction, you go straight to the book, right? That's common. My Rebbeim, Rebbe Luban, always told us, you know what, it's very kedai, it's worthwhile to read the introduction. A lot of times in introductions, you get a feel for the author himself. He's writing something, someone's writing an appreciation about him. When you read an introduction to a Sefer, to a book, you appreciate so much more the author, because it's not, the preface is not the work itself, but it's the mindset of the writer. It colors him and shows you who he is. Okay? So yeah, go through introductions. So in the introduction to the Drish, to the Sma on Choshen Mishpat. So, besides a great appreciation for his father, the son of the Drisha also writes an appreciation for his mother. And inside this piece, he writes two halachic chidushim that his mother came up with. Interesting, they both have to do with candle lighting, and I hope to get to both of them today. But this halacha, which I just quoted, that Yom Tov, the halacha of lighting candles, should be the opposite of Shabbos, that idea was first put forth by Rebbetzin Drisha. She was the first one to put forth this idea. So much so, she's heavily quoted through the Masorah of Halacha. The Magen Avraham, who ends up arguing and posking that we keep the same Shabbos and Yontif, he first quotes Eishes Adrisha. He first quotes this piece. It was heavily, heavily known. Chassam Sofer, Kiv Eger. Through the ages, everyone talks about this particular piece from the Drisha. And thus, it is quite interesting that the halachic source here came about through a woman. Now, people do take this the wrong way. I believe there's some institute called the Drisha Institute, which I think wants to make women poskim. I'm not sure the Drisha, you know, was the model for the ultimate posik in pink. I'm not sure that was, she viewed her life mission to push feminism. I don't really want to get onto that topic today. You know, people do misuse history, especially people who can't defend themselves. But the Drisha did come up with this idea that one should first make the bracha on Yom Tov and then light, because the reasoning behind why we do it the opposite way by Shabbos doesn't apply by Yom Tov. And I found The Chassam Sofer argues to her defense against the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham argued that the smartest thing over here would be to have a low plug. Don't we keep the halacha the same? So the Chassam Sofer says, look, we make low plugs when it's one big halacha. We have the Chacham, the rabbis have the power of a low plug. When they're making sure that this halacha falls in our circumstances. The Chassam Sofer wants to argue that the lighting of Shabbos candles and the lighting of Yom Tov candles are two separate halachas. They're two separate dinim. Harayah, we make two different brachas. So it's not as if you're doing the same halacha that you're doing on Shabbos, you're also doing on Yom Tov. Different brachas, different mitzvahs. And therefore, a low plug doesn't apply. Not so simple. You know, I could hear the Magen Avraham arguing back. Yeah, right. We do use different language for the bracha. It's just because, okay, you know, this is Shabbos, this is Yom Tov. But really, the idea behind lighting candles is basically the same mitzvah. So one is called Shabbos candles, one's called Yom Tov candles. One says, you say the Lashon and the bracha, L'chal Kner Shel Shabbos, one says L'chal Kner Shel Yom Tov. But it's basically the same. That's the debate between the Chassam Sofer and the Magen Avraham. But the Chassam Sofer does side with the wife of the Drisha and says, yes, we should do differently by Yom Tov candles and Shabbos candles. Rabbi Akiva Eiger adds another argument, which is a very interesting point. He says, we have no right to extend a low plug, to extend the halacha. We only do that on something which is what we call bona fide halacha. Something which itself is a chumrah, there's no power to make a low plug. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger wants to argue, let's get the scope of this halacha. Really, this idea that we do by Shabbos, that we light first and make bracha second, that halacha really is a chumrah. Why is that a chumrah? Because we could have done it the regular way. Make the bracha first and then light after. We have an issue. Once you make the bracha, L'chadik Ner Shel Shabbos, that's Kabbalah Shabbos. So how could you light Shabbos candles? So we mentioned before, there was another option. You could have das not to be yotze, not to be Mekabel Shabbos with your bracha. So therefore, you can make the bracha L'chadik Ner Shel Shabbos, not Mekabel Shabbos, light the candle, and after the candle, be Mekabel Shabbos. So the whole concept of doing it the other way and changing from the normal over L'asiyasa, making the bracha before we perform a mitzvah, is really a chumrah. You could have done it the other way. So therefore, on a chumrah, there's no din of making a low plug. We're not going to extend it. Yes, okay, you came out, this is the best way to deal with Shabbos. We gave an argument, yeah, it's hard for people to have mindsets, fine, great. But L'maisa, we're not going to extend a chumrah. A low plug is only on full-fledged halacha, but not on the chumrah. So either way, you have the Chassam Sofer, you have Rabbi Akiva Eiger, who are backing up Eishes HaDrisha. And therefore, they come out, and the Mishnah Berurah paskens this way, the Aruch HaShulchan paskens this way. It's basically everyone does pasken, and when it comes to Yom Tov candles, we do the opposite procedure from Shabbos. So this is very important. If your wives aren't watching at home, make sure to tell them this. Right? It's a nice halacha that it could be people are not aware of. That right, that I see someone's text me questions about whatever, in cases where you strike a match and it doesn't work, get a new lighter, that's what you do. But okay, well, I'll talk to them after. But L'maisa, this halacha which comes out by Yom Tov is by Yontif, one first would make the bracha and then light Yontif candles. That would be the common procedure, and it's the proper procedure based on the Mishnah Berurah and the others. And it's the type of thing, if a woman isn't reminded of this, you know, probably the default setting is they'll go to Shabbos mode, right? Not just their refrigerators, but they themselves go to Shabbos mode. They're like, that. Look, if you did it at that, it's okay. You know, there's Yesh Al Milisbach, the Magen Avraham does, say doing it like that. But ideally, the best thing would be to instruct women that when it comes to lighting Yom Tov candles, to flip it. So, okay, good. We already learned the important halacha for today. I used to have a Rebbe. He used to middle class, Rabbi Kasira. So I had him for Navi, ninth grade. So he said, after he taught something, halfway through the class, he's like, oh, good, you learned something. Now you can go home. I guess in our scenario is, you know, we're already home. But okay, it's always important to learn something, especially learn something new. So that's one halacha from Mrs. Revitson Drisha. While on the topic, we might as well get to another halacha from Revitson Drisha. And this is also about candle lighting. And it's also about Yom Tov candle lighting. You know, I assume that's her area of expertise. She spent a lot of time lighting candles. So she was contemplating it. So she came across, there's another halacha. And this, I wasn't able to track down what exactly is the minhag. I think people do both things. But let's hear it out. When does one light Yom Tov candles? So many people end up lighting Yom Tov candles, especially, you know, a lot of times people get busy. Yom Tov, you're cooking food, you know, in a certain sense, by Shabbos, you know, all your Shabbos food has to be ready by Shabbos, so it might be hectic the last minutes before Shabbos, but okay, once, you know, Shabbos is coming, that's it, no more, you know, pot screwing around with food. But when it comes to Yom Tov, on the other hand, you know, you're busy the whole time cooking, or you're waiting till after the Zman, whatever. So people are always very, very busy. And many people end up, I should qualify, you know, the halachas we're talking about, contrasting Shabbos and Yom Tov. So, when I'm talking here about, there's one interesting point, it's so cool. I gave a whole introduction that we're doing the halachas of Yom Tov here because it's, so, what else are you going to learn before Shavuos? So I see somebody just asked me the question, okay, Rabbi, nice share, I hear the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, but what happens when Shabbos, when Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos, what should my wife do? So the answer is, if Shabbos comes out on Yom Tov, so that does mean that you are limited in terms of cooking to help the Shabbos. The Shabbos takes precedence over Yom Tov, right? So you can't cook. You don't have the Yom Tov heter if Yom Tov comes on Shabbos. So in that case, we would follow the halachas of Shabbos and seemingly do, like you said, to do the Shabbos mode. Okay, so Shabbos Yom Tov, do the Shabbos mode. But what I'm laughing at is interesting. I believe, based on the calendar, that can't be when it comes to Shavuos. In Machros HaShabbos, I believe Shavuos does not come out on a Shabbos. They're going to get me this year. It's Thursday night and Friday night, okay, the second night. But most of the time you just have, you know, when you have a case either where it's not Yom Tov and Shabbos, that's when you could put into practice the Yom Tov mode. But you're right, if it's Shabbos with Yontif, then you got to keep to your Shabbos mode. Now, as I was saying, when it comes to when to light the candles on Yontif, again, this is just pure Yontif mode, not Shabbos. So when it comes to lighting the candles, so many people end up lighting Yontif candles before the Suda. It could be their husbands already came home from Shul, davening's already finished. So look, you could light candles in Yontif anyway. So people would light Yontif candles. It's already way after Shkia, way after any Zman, after 72 minutes, who knows. And okay, husbands come home from Shul before they're ready to eat, they light Yontif candles. Comes along Rebbetzin Drisha, and she says, no, the best thing that people should do is they should light Yontif candles the same way, the same timing when they light Shabbos candles. Just like Shabbos candles, we try to light 18 minutes before Shkia, that's the common practice. So that is when people should light Yontif candles. Azai Zakt, Rebbetzin Drisha. Why? What's her reasoning over here? So if you look at the sheets, we have Hilchos Yontif, Siman Tov Tzadi Hei. So he writes, Komalacha Hasur B'Shabbos Hasur B'Yontif. In general, whatever malachas are also in Shabbos, are also Asar and Yontif. Chutz Melachas Ochel Nefesh, except for food preparation. The Chutz Mehotzov Havara, and also except for carrying and for Havara, for lighting fire. The Chain Machshir Ochel Nefesh, so to preparing food. Shulhaya Efshir La'asos Me'amol, that was not possible to do yesterday. So that halacha means, there's a halacha, that ideally, whatever should have been done before Yontif, you do before Yontif. We're only really giving the full heter to cook and prepare things for Yontif, for things you couldn't have done before Yontif. So it comes along, Mrs. Drisha, and she says, okay, so why are these women waiting and lighting Yontif candles once it's ready Yontif? You could have lit Yontif candles before Yontif. Doesn't this fit under the category of something that was efshar to have been done by Erev Yontif? So why are people waiting to do it later? Rather, the best time people should do is look. Okay, you're cooking, I get it. How are you going to do on Yontif? Fine. But you're lighting the candles, that could have done before Yontif, just like we do by Shabbos. Therefore, she recommends the best thing to do is not to wait till later, but rather light your Yontif candles before Shkia, just like one would do on Shabbos. I did find that the Chassam Sofer does bring this lahalacha. Okay, that was a Chassam Sofer I didn't put in the sheets. Starts off in Shabbos, but he brings it also in, it's not just a Chassam Sofer in Shabbos, it's also brought on the Shulchan Aruch. So this is a second halacha, interestingly enough, also about candle lighting in Yontif, from Rebbetzin Drisha. So again, the first halacha, that's clear, that when it comes to Yontif lighting, the procedure could be different than Shabbos. You could first make the bracha and then light. And this is clearly brought halacha by the Mishabura and others. The second halacha, which I'm not sure is as prevalent, but there are definitely, it's brought down, at least that I found the Chassam Sofer, that a woman, some women light anytime before the Suda, and Rebbetzin Drisha recommends, no, do it beforehand. This way you have a full kiyum of this halacha, that anything you could have done before Yontif, don't push off. Don't just do on Yontif. Do before Yontif. So I saw an interesting question that some ask. that seemingly her two halachas are in stira. Rabbi Sindrisha was getting so much credit being this great woman posek. She paskin two halachas that her son brings in the Hakdama. But people ask, those two halachas are self-contradictory. Why so? So let's work this out. We have a few minutes. He says, look, we're going to keep both of these halachas. Now, both of these halachas are not said on a vacuum. They were said in conjunction. In fact, the Chassam Sofer brings them both in conjunction. So it's not that it's you either have this one or that one. Rebbe Sindrisha held both of these. She did both of these. But the question is, how do we understand it? Right? Again, her two halachas are, when it comes to Yontif, I first make the bracha that I light. And the second point is, I should do this before Yontif, because once Yontif comes, so then, look, granted, there's a heter of Havara, there's a heter, all different things for Yontif. But look, if I could have done it beforehand, I do it beforehand. So, Chara, there's a steer here. Because if you're lighting on the Erev Yontif, so I'm saying, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kirishonu Mitzvot Zivanu, L'Hadlik Ner Shel Yontif. How am I lighting it? What's my procedure? My procedure is I'm making the bracha and then lighting. But time out. The moment I make the bracha, I am a kabel yontif. Right? So he said, oh, don't worry, because on yontif you have a lot of light. Fine. Okay, so that makes sense. I can make the bracha and then light. But Rebbe Sindrisha is also telling me that we are nervous. We would like to light before yontif, so it's not considered as if I'm using the heter of yontif to light. But if I'm lighting, there's no advantage. Rebbe Sindrisha tells us, don't light later, once it's already yontif. Because then you're utilizing the heter of yontif to light. No, you could have lit before yontif, right? So if you light before yontif, you wouldn't need to use the heter of yontif to light. But Makshana Olam, what are you talking about? You're always going to need to use the heter of yontif to light. Because once you make the bracha, according to her system, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, L'Hadlik Ner Shel Yontif, right then and there, you're Mekabel Yontif. So if you're Mekabel Yontif, how can I light? You're telling me, great. It's different than Shabbos, because I'm allowed to light in Yontif. Okay, great. So you have the first halacha of the Drisha. But the second halacha of the Drisha, what, according to her system, you're not getting anything. And don't tell me she means that you should do it, do her second halacha without her first halacha. Sofer clearly says that you're doing both of her halachas. You're mekayim both of her halachas. So how do you understand it? So this, I believe, is quite a serious question on the Drisha. It does seem that her two halachas are in stira. And there's a lot of comments you can make. You know, it's interesting, you read the Lashonos of the different poskim through the ages referring to Ishas Drisha. So some have very flattering things to say about her, but you know, halacha, you know, in the Beis Medrash, it could be a fight. So there could be sharp words too. So the Magen Avraham did have some sharp words about the Drisha, but definitely this stira sounds a pretty strong question. Again, let's quickly say it over, that the Drisha is advocating in her second halacha that the best time to light, don't wait till Yontif to light, you should light before Yontif. This way, you're not using the heter of Yontif to light, you're lighting before Yontif. The heter of Yontif only really, any malacha that you could have done beforehand, There's a din you should do beforehand. Don't push it off the yontif. So, but once you make the bracha, her system of how to do it, her procedure, is to first make the bracha. So the moment I made the bracha, it's already yontif. So once it's yontif, I might as well light. What am I gaining by lighting before Shkia versus after? Either way, I'm lighting in yontif. So there's one other interesting halacha, perhaps a halachic difference between Shabbos lighting and yontif lighting. And it's a bir halacha in Simen Tov Kuf Chav Zayin. Let's not make the sheets, but there is a bir halacha over there that makes the following halach. That when you're makabel, when your hadlaka, a woman's hadlaka is nearest by Shabbos, which obviously we've been talking about as inclusive of the bracha they make him beforehand, he says that is 100% the full Kabbalah Shabbos, because that's when the whole tzibor is lighting, and that has the power of a full Kabbalah Shabbos. As opposed to the bir halacha, he only says it as an efsher. The bir halacha says when it comes to yontif, where you don't necessarily have people lighting at the same time, there, when a woman lights, her the status of her Kabbalah is not as strong as a Kabbalah's Tzibor. It's only viewed as a Kabbalah's Yachid. What's the difference of her Kabbalah's Yontif versus Shabbos? Is a Tzibor, is a whole community Kabbalah versus a Yachid? So there, I believe the Mishpru is talking about the Bir Halacha. Talking about Hilchos Erev, that you could do Erev before her, even though it's something you normally do before Yontif, but it's only Kabbalah's Yachid that you are able to do. Right? We came across this not too long ago. We gave a share about Kabbalah Shabbos, and there is a halachic difference between when the whole Tzibor is Makabal Shabbos, the whole community Makabal Shabbos, a much stronger Kabbalah than an individual's Kabbalah. Right? Even the people that said you can make Hatar Sindarim on your Kabbalah, but that's only by individual Kabbalah. Once Tzibor made it, there's no room to make a Hatara on that. But anyway, so some people want to answer. I found this in some Israeli Sefer, Vahari Neinu. So he said, perhaps you could make a chaluk that this Isser, that one should not do a malacha on Yontif that you could have done beforehand, with Gabi that halacha too, perhaps one could be make of those only Kabbalah's Yachid. So therefore, when you light Yontov candles before Shkia, so that is better. Einachanami here makabel your bracha, but so is only Kabbalah's Yachid. So this iser that, hey, you're lighting before this lighting of fire beforehand, look, anyway, it was only Kabbalah's Yachid. Not sure I hear the answer perfectly. I hear the kasha a little bit better. But either way, what comes out of this is an interesting halacha for one to pass on to their wives before Yontif. And you might pass on to them not just the halacha, but the cute little story behind who brought about such a halacha, none other than Rebbe Sindrisha. To thank everybody for listening. Hope everyone has a wonderful, wonderful week. Stay safe. And tune in next week for perhaps more interesting halachas. We hope to do something that's probably nogea Yontif Shavuos, but also nogea our ever-changing halach patterns here in the pandemic, in the corona crisis of 2020. Thank you very much.